And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Well, we now are in day three of a federal government shutdown as a debate continues between Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill over what the plan is to fully reopen the government. And it's really a pretty simple thing going on here. Republicans, back about 3 weeks ago in the House, passed a clean continuing resolution keeping government funded at the exact same level through November 21st of this year. That passed the House back in mid-September. So as we got into the early part of this week, before the shutdown and later part, the latter parts of last week, the discussion at the level of the Senate was pretty simple. We either pass the continuing resolution or we allow the government to shut down. Now, as you're well aware, Republicans do have a majority in the United States Senate. However, the Senate rules, the Senate filibuster, requires 60 votes for things like this continuing resolution. That 60-vote threshold would require Democrats to cross the aisle. Three have, including Senator John Fetterman out of Pennsylvania, who's been torching his own party this entire week, and two others, a Democrat out of Nevada and an independent senator who caucuses with the Democrats. So for all intents and purposes, another Democrat. But they still need five more votes to get this over the finish line. And to me, this is not really even that big of a debate. I don't know why the Democrats, and we talked about this earlier in the week. If you missed any of the shows this week, maybe you've been out of town or busy, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast from earlier this week. I spent the entire show on the shutdown. This is all coming around the fact that Democrats didn't get what they want earlier this year in the One Big Beautiful Bill. And so now they are trying to re-litigate that in early October. They don't have the cards. They don't have the bargaining chips. They don't have the majority. They don't have anything. And so it's called the Schumer shutdown. It is Chuck Schumer's shutdown. And there's nothing that the Democrats are saying or doing that is bringing them any sort of winning message on this issue. Everything that they are attempting to do is falling completely flat on its face. And of course, their talking heads, their friends in mainstream media are running to cameras, doing everything that they can to try and turn this into the chaotic situation that they want it to be so that they can point the finger at Republicans and say it's those bastards that shut down the government. It's their fault. It's just not working. This continuing resolution truly is a clean bill. It does not have any policy issues or anything in it. It is a very short, simple, and sweet piece of legislation. And you've got Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries that are battling tooth and nail over this thing on a losing message, on a losing issue. It makes no sense to me. I don't think this is going to last very long. The Senate is set to be back today. They were off yesterday for Yom Kippur, they weren't off, but there were no votes took place. And they're expected to gavel back in the Senate this morning. I don't think it's going to be very long before the Democrats fold on this. It's a losing political proposition. It's a losing political battle. And there's really nowhere for them to go. But I do want to point out one quick thing that I saw yesterday on MSNBC. I pulled this screen grab from Ogden, Utah, where they had an MSNBC reporter, and I'll read it for those that are listening on audio. This is the headline, or this was the title card on MSNBC yesterday afternoon. Food pantries see increase in federal workers seeking to help feed their children and families. So this ran yesterday on MSNBC. This was October the 2nd. Federal employees got their full paycheck on October the 1st. So just one day prior. And MSNBC wants you to believe that people are already lining up and there people are already clamoring outside of food pantries across the country. Federal workers are, because they don't have any money to feed their family. They got paid. This report aired yesterday. They got paid the previous day. This just goes to show you the nonsensical reporting and the nonsensical coverage from those on the political left. Food pantries see increase in federal workers. So you pissed through your entire paycheck in one day, and now you have to stand in line at a food pantry to feed your family? That's a you problem. That's not a federal government issue. If you got paid on October the 1st and October the 2nd, you have $0 left. And the only way for you to feed yourself and your family is to stand in line at a food pantry. You have got much larger problems than the federal government being shut down. I can absolutely promise you that. This illustrates the kind of fear-mongering that the Democrats' friends in the media are doing, attempting to do to pin this shutdown and try and demonize Trump and the Republicans. It's just not working. In the long term, I think the Democrats probably, or in the short term, I should say, I think the Democrats probably fold on this pretty quickly. It's another losing political battle for them. They're not getting the coverage that they want. And Trump is frankly just clowning them. I mean, he is making them look like complete and total fools. You had a meeting yesterday between Trump and Russ Voigt, the head of OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. Former Congressman Dan Bishop is a very high up in OBM as well. I would imagine he's in on some of those high level conversations, as you could see potentially as early as today, maybe through the weekend or into early next week. If the shutdown is not alleviated, the threat of mass termination of federal employees. And I caught an interesting article. I don't have it pulled up right now because I didn't really want to read through it, but it was an interesting Politico article yesterday in which John Thune, who is the leader of the Republican majority leader in the United States Senate, he told Democrats, and this was a Politico article, he told Democrats that if they shut down the government, he has no control over what Trump and Russ Voigt and OMB does. He made the point very clear to Chuck Schumer. If you guys don't vote in favor of this, I don't have any say-so in what Trump does and what OMB does with potentially hundreds of thousands of federal employees. John Thune could not have made it any more clear to Chuck Schumer and the Democrats what they were putting at risk and the gamble that they were making shutting down the federal government. They decided to do so, and now they're going to have to live with the repercussions. They're going to have to live with whatever comes of it. So the Senate's back a little bit later on today. We'll wait and see what comes of it and continue to provide coverage throughout the weekend on our social media channels. You can follow me on X at Nicholas M. Craig, or head on over to Facebook and follow The Nick Craig Show. Just search for The Nick Craig Show on Facebook, and you can follow over there as well. So that's the latest on the Schumer shutdown. 2 days, 7 hours, 10 minutes, and 13 seconds into that shutdown this morning. We'll keep an eye on it throughout the weekend. In some other news this morning, complete and total anarchy in the streets. Where? Let me look at my notes here. Portland, Oregon. Another liberal, progressive bastion hellhole. Portland, Oregon, ladies and gentlemen. You'll remember back during the summer of peace and love in 2020, when you were told that you couldn't leave your house without dying of COVID-19. Your small business was shut down by either the state or federal government due to COVID-19, you weren't allowed to leave, but you were told that it was totally reasonable and acceptable to have Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other left-wing agitators not just protesting, but rioting in U.S. cities across the United States. Portland, Oregon was one of the main cities in which that was taking place. Portland had the very well-known Chaz Zone, in which these groups took over a 3 or 4 block stretch in downtown Portland, turned it into their own city. You'll remember this? They refused to allow law enforcement in that area. It was called the Chaz Zone. They wanted to essentially be their own little city, their own little government. You had women being raped, people being stabbed and killed. That was what went on in the couple of days span in which the Chaz Zone existed before authorities realized and came to their senses and realization that we can't allow anarchy on the streets of our cities. So that's Portland, Oregon, just a little refresher of a city like that. You cannot get much further left than Portland, Oregon. I mean, when I say progressive hellhole, Portland is absolutely at the top, the very tippy top of that list. So over the last couple of days, there has been growing unrest by left-wing agitators and protesters in Portland over ICE. Another losing political issue. Notice the theme here, folks. Another losing political issue for the left that is illegal immigration, that they were in power, Joe Biden in the Oval Office for 4 years, allowed millions of individuals into the country, some through asylum, some illegally crossing the border. The American people, not in favor of that. Immigration was one of the top issues for voters when they headed to voting locations in November of last year. And I think in large part, it is one of the reasons that Donald Trump was successful in winning his election and now being the 47th president of the United States. People are in favor of enforcing immigration law. People are in favor of getting people who are not supposed to be here, people who did not follow the process to be here. American citizens are in favor of getting those people out of the United States. This is something that obviously is a more prominent talking point on the right, but this spans across party lines. But we've seen polling even earlier this year that the majority of the American public is in favor of the deportations and the operations that Immigration Customs Enforcement and the federal government are doing. Regular, everyday, normal American citizens have to follow a variety of laws. They have to follow a variety of regulations from the government. They find it highly offensive when they are held to a much higher standard than people who are legally in the United States of America. It is highly offensive to the vast majority of the American public. But on the far left side of the political aisle, they believe that you should, in fact, be able to come into a sovereign nation, which the United States is, come into a sovereign nation without following the proper procedure, without making any attempt to assimilate at all, and that society should change to adapt to you. You shouldn't adapt to meet society. Society needs to modify itself to illegal immigrants and illegal immigration. That's what those on the left believe. It's another losing political issue. It's something that is not popular with vast majorities of the American populace, but that's really the long and the short of the discussion. So we've seen a more than 1,000% increase in attacks on ICE officers over the last couple of months. We saw just less than 2 weeks ago, an individual, a sniper, perched up on a roof in Dallas, Texas, right across the street from an ICE facility, shoot and kill two individuals while he was attempting to shoot and kill ICE agents at an ICE facility in Dallas. Just a couple of months ago before that, you had an ICE facility that was stormed by these radical progressives, officers under siege. This is what the left is doing. They are now attacking federal law enforcement. So I take you to Portland, Oregon, where unrest has taken place over the last couple of nights, and federal immigration officials say there that their facility is becoming under increasing nightly attacks with no help from local police because of political directives from city leaders in Portland, Oregon. And so this is where things get a little interesting. So you look at ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That is a federal law enforcement agency, and they've got facilities all over the United States. They've had facilities all over the United States under Barack Obama, first Trump administration, during Joe Biden. ICE has had and continues to operate immigration facilities all across the United States of America. These are not pop-up shelters. These are not random tent facilities or anything like that. This is not, we're not talking about alligator Alcatraz. We are talking about federal buildings, federal processing facilities that ICE has occupied for decades. There's one of those in Portland, Oregon. It's a major city right on the left coast. So why things become interesting when you look at a federal facility like that is ICE, immigration agents, have jurisdiction over the physical facility itself because it is a federal facility. ICE officials and other federal law enforcement, they do not have jurisdiction, however, outside of the facility, right? The same way that you have rights on your own personal private property, those rights cut off at the boundary of your property. It is a very similar situation with these immigration facilities in the case of the one we're talking about this morning in Portland, Oregon. So the reason it's relevant that no help is coming from local police is that ICE can't roam the streets. The National Guard, at least to this point right now, they cannot roam the streets of Portland, Oregon and act as local law enforcement. They just have jurisdiction over their physical facility in downtown Portland. And because of the insanely stupid and deranged policies from elected officials in Portland, Oregon, they have instructed their law enforcement to not assist ICE. They have instructed their law enforcement to not handle violent crowds that are existing just outside the physical border of that facility. And it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, this is a left-wing pipe dream. We hate federal law enforcement. We hate Trump. We hate ICE. We want hundreds of millions of illegals to storm into the United States. We want to give them free health care. That's the whole reason the freaking federal government is shut down right now. I mean, this is par for the course for the federal for these left-wing officials in places like Portland, Oregon. And so I've got a series of clips this morning. Bill Malugin, who is a phenomenal reporter over at Fox News, he rose to a lot of prominence during the Biden administration for being out on the border, the U.S.-Mexico border, for months on end with the Fox drone, bringing exclusive stories as to what exactly was happening on the border, while the mainstream media said, oh, there's nothing going on here, there's nothing happening on the border, ignore nothing happening. Bill Malugin and the folks over at Fox News had drones up embedded with Customs and Border Protection, actually seeing what was going on down there. So Bill Malugin has really risen to a much more prominent reporter over the last couple of years. He has been embedded with the immigration officials in Portland, Oregon over the last couple of days. And he filed this report yesterday with Fox News. So don't take my word for it. Let's take the word of Bill Malugin, who's there, and immigration officials who are actually on the ground in Portland, Oregon.
Security, ICE's Portland director, Kamala Wamsley, told me she's extremely frustrated with Portland police. As she says, the Portland mayor and city council largely block police from responding to any violence at ICE's building. Take a listen.
They're not really supposed to respond to this building. Mm-hmm. There have been folks that have been assaulted right down here on the street, even across the street, and it takes Portland police a while to respond, or sometimes they don't respond at all.
Is that frustrating?
It is frustrating. It's frustrating for us to watch people be attacked on the street and know that we don't have the authority to be able to really step in unless there's some nexus to federal law. Mm-hmm. That's frustrating for us.
And last night we did see multiple verbal scuffles almost get to the point of physical confrontations, all while the Portland police liaisons were standing just across the street watching everything, but deciding not to intervene. And that in part is why President Trump has said he is sending the National Guard here to Portland. He says the locals aren't doing their job when it comes to protecting this federal facility. So he's going to send the military in. But as of this morning, as you can see, the National Guard not out here just yet. We'll send it back to you.
So that's Bill Malugin, again, straight from the horse's mouth. There's the director, the head of the ICE Portland facility, saying, yeah, it's unfortunate. You've got people that are fighting in the streets right outside of our facility. And as she noted very well, unless there's some sort of federal nexus with it, immigration officials cannot step in. It's not their jurisdiction, which is, by the way, kind of ironic and funny, isn't it? Because you're told that Trump is this crazy authoritarian dictator. You're told that he doesn't give one ounce of a damn about the rule of law and he's a king ruling over the United States. If that was true, these immigration officials, these ICE officials, who, by the way, are in all riot gear trying to protect their facility, they would be running through the streets of Portland throwing these clowns in jail. But because he's not, because the president isn't an authoritarian dictator, he is allowing the rule of law to play out as it is. If Portland police don't want to respond to chaos on their own streets, that's their problem. Now, he's talked about sending the National Guard in. That didn't happen last night. This report aired yesterday afternoon. So when he said last night, he's referring to Wednesday night when some of this stuff was taking place. But as the chaos continues to grow, the situation gets more and more out of control. Here is a video last night published exclusively by the Post Millennial of two guys having a full-on brawl right in front of the Portland ICE facility, where you see that blue writing on the ground that says "Do not block." That is the jurisdictional bounds of the ICE facility. That yellow spray paint is their backup, and as you can see here, some overweight leftist protester getting his ass handed to him by a guy in a Charlie Kirk Freedom shirt. Of course, this joker comes back for more. Charlie Kirk supporter, the individual with the Freedom shirt, absolutely whooped his ass. You can see these are the federal officials. They walk right up to the line. They walk right up to the boundary. As you can see, they're not arresting anybody. But this is the situation that they're dealing with. Portland police should be responding to this. And so you can watch them try and deal with this individual. He got beat up and then collapses to the ground. Now, because these individuals are law enforcement, I don't know if they took him into custody, but they did swiftly bring him away and brought him inside because he literally passed out after getting his ass kicked on the streets of Portland. Right. This is, I mean, how embarrassing. This is the caliber of individuals that we're up against. A guy in Under Armour jeans or Under Armour gym shorts getting his ass pummeled on the streets of Portland, Oregon. That's what we're up against. That's the left. That's the best that they're sending to these situations. It is complete and total chaos on the streets of Portland, Oregon, and local officials have no interest in doing anything about it. Have absolutely no interest in doing anything about it. So we heard from Bill Malusian. We heard from the director of ICE at that facility as to what's going on. And last night, the Portland police chief was on CNN. Surprise, surprise, because you know they're not really covering this. This doesn't paint their side in a very good light. It's not beneficial when you've got, you know, streets and cities burning to the ground. You've got people getting beaten up on the streets. Doesn't really paint a good picture for those on the left. Just like how in 2020 it wasn't riots in the streets. It was just peaceful protests. Meanwhile, buildings are being burned to the ground. Left-wing agitators are throwing bricks through shop windows. You've got police having fireworks shot at them, bricks being thrown at them. It was all peaceful. The infamous shot on CNN of mostly peaceful protests while there's a literal inferno burning behind. I got to pull that up again. We haven't looked at that clip in quite some time. Let's see. CNN mostly peaceful protests. Just a great shot. A legendary scene from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Fiery but mostly peaceful protests after police are shooting. There are multiple cars that are burned down to bare metal on the streets in a literal raging inferno behind this reporter in Kenosha, Wisconsin. But this is how the left framed it. It's fiery, but it's mostly peaceful. I mean, when I think peaceful protest, I think of cars burning in the middle of the streets. I think of fast food restaurants being burned to the ground. I think of small businesses being looted. I mean, that seems pretty peaceful to me, right? Mostly peaceful protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So here is the Portland, Oregon police chief on CNN yesterday. He wants to claim that this isn't happening at all. Take a listen.
Hear from you when it comes to, first off, the National Guard being in place. Have you seen them? Do you know what they're doing there?
No, they are not in place at this time. They're receiving some additional training. We believe they'll probably be deployed in the coming days, but they're not in place right now.
Okay, so you haven't seen them in your city?
No.
And do you believe having them there is necessary? Do you need them there?
No, just as you highlighted a moment ago.
No. We want our citizens getting in fistfights in the middle of the street. We don't need them. Everything's fine. I didn't just watch a video of two grown men getting in a fistfight and a guy getting pummeled to the ground and having to be whisked away by federal officials because he's literally unconscious. There's no reason for the National Guard to be there. Don't let your eyes deceive you, ladies and gentlemen. There's no need, according to the Portland, Oregon police chief. It's like we're living in a literal alternate reality. Go on Twitter if you don't believe me and just search for Portland. And you will see, and I've got a couple more coming up for you, dozens of videos of out-of-control anarchy in the middle of the streets. But you're told, CNN, Caitlin Collins, and this jackass, the police chief in Portland, Oregon, telling you, nothing going on here, Jack. No, we don't need the National Guard. Why would we need the National Guard? Everything is totally fine.
Well, you know, we're talking about one city block in 145 square miles. Certainly been some challenges down at the facility. Portland Police has been engaged down there extensively over the last 9 months. We've made over 20 arrests ourselves. We've conducting assault investigations ongoing. We're working closely with our federal partners, but the facility itself is managed and governed by the federal.
So this is Chief Bob Day. So somebody is lying here. He just said he's working closely with his with the federal partners at ICE. Yet you just heard from the ICE director at that Portland facility that they are calling Portland police and they are either not responding at all or responding incredibly late to situations. But just one more time, let me make sure this is the ICE director in Portland. We just heard from her.
They're not really supposed to respond to this building. Mm-hmm. There have been folks that have been assaulted right down here on the street, even across the street, and it takes Portland police a while to respond, or sometimes they don't respond at all.
Okay, so there's the ICE director saying they don't respond at all. And let's just roll this CNN clip back a little bit. What did he just say?
We're working closely with our federal partners, but the facility itself is managed and governed by the Federal Protective Service, and they have responsibility for that. And the incidents you speak of, for example, last night occurring on their property. But Portland is very much engaged. And once again, this is just one small block in a big city that we're trying to manage for all of Portlanders.
And so for people who aren't in Portland and what we've heard from federal officials describing what they say is the situation on the ground there, you're saying that doesn't align with what you've seen and what your officers have.
And again, this goes back to the media as a whole. I'll continue this clip. The biggest thing and the biggest disservice that the media can do is not lie about a story. It's not misrepresent the facts about a story. It's to not cover a story. That is the biggest thing that mainstream media outlets have the ability to do. And so as you've got CNN and the reporter on CNN here saying, well, the federal officials are telling us, you don't need to hear it from federal officials. Go on Twitter, go on Facebook, go on social media and search for Portland, Oregon. I mean, you can see it with your own two very eyes. You don't need to hear from the police chief. You don't even need to hear from ICE officials. You can see it with your own two eyes. But no, this is the kind of pandering and the kind of garbage that you expect from the media.
It's the situation on the ground there. You're saying that doesn't align with what you've seen and what your officers have seen.
Correct. I mean, the city is in a tremendous state of renewal. We recognize that 20 and 21 were some tough times, but 2025, we see crime down double digits in nearly all major categories. We're seeing, you know, high return foot traffic downtown. We've hosted some of our largest conventions in the city's history this year. Yeah. Large-scale sporting events, et cetera. So
it's not happening. Okay, so maybe I'm wrong. This is an individual in a position of authority, ladies and gentlemen. This is the police chief for the city of Portland, Oregon. I mean, you would assume this guy's got some decent information. You would assume ICE would be providing some decent information, but those two stories do not add up. So let's go to the social media game. Let's head on over to X and see what's going on. Here's Portland, Oregon, 12:46 a.m. Eastern Time. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. Don't take my word for it. Don't take the Portland police chief's word for it. Don't take the ICE director's word for it. There's what's going on the city streets of beautiful. What was the quote that he used? A tremendous state of renewal. There's the renewed, beautiful city of Portland, Oregon last night. And you can hear all of these clowns in the background, some incredibly annoying woman screaming, "This is public property! This is the city of Portland's public property!" Some probably 22-year-old deranged lunatic. "This is public property!" So that's what's going on the city streets of Portland right now. But it's a state of renewal, according to the Portland police chief. There are no issues going on the streets. There are no dangerous scenes taking place. There is nothing happening. I mean, that's what they want you to believe. You've got grown men beating the living hell out of each other on the streets. We've already watched that video. You've got individuals that are being grabbed by immigration and customs enforcement folks who are going on to the property when, by the way, you're on the federal jurisdiction. They nabbed that guy, threw him to the ground, and hauled his ass away, as they should have. You had Nick Sordo, who is a independent journalist, being arrested by Portland police last night. So that's where they're putting their efforts. He was on, let me see if I can find this clip. It's a kind of a long clip, but let me see if I can find this. He was on with Laura Ingraham last night. Hopefully somebody has posted this on social media, but he was on with Laura Ingraham on the Fox News channel last night before he was arrested by Portland police. See if I can find that exchange. Yeah, here is the clip. This is last night on the Fox News channel, Laura Ingraham and Nick Sorda, who was arrested. You know, they're not arresting the guy who is there, who's the guys who are having a fist fight. They're arresting Nick Sorda, an independent journalist who is covering the scene for Fox News and other major media outlets. As you can see there, priorities there for the Portland Police Department. Thank God they are doing the work that they're doing. I mean, it's a city of renewal after all, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Ingraham last night.
Here with me from Portland is independent journalist Nick Sortor. Nick, good to see you. I know you had your own run-in with some of these lovely individuals, graduates of your local charm school, right outside that ICE facility. It was caught on camera by our own Bill Malusian. Watch. Nick, set the scene for us. What was going on?
You know, Laura, I had only been here for 5 minutes at that point down here at the ICE facility. I was walking down the sidewalk with a camera, just filming the surroundings here. And that's all it took was for them to run at me, encircle me, you know, assault me, all of that within 5 minutes out here at the ICE facility. So, you know, we'll walk a little bit this way, but I want to show you what it looks like out here. It looks like a third world country. It doesn't look like a major American city should. There are no laws out here. I mean, you look at them, they can't. I'm sitting here talking. All I'm doing is talking to you, walking down the street on the sidewalk. They call us the fascists, but they want to shut down our speech all the time and attack us and scare us. And they're able to do it, Laura, because they never get punished. They watched me get pushed yesterday. They watched them run at me on the sidewalk yesterday. Nothing was done about it. The Portland police standing right on the opposite side of the corner and did absolutely nothing.
Well, the mayor and the governor, Governor Tina Kotek, said this week, you know, this is ridiculous. This is a safe city. It's a beautiful city. And the chaos, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, is being created by those who are coming into the fair city of Portland and trying to make trouble by bringing, police or other officials in uniform.
Yeah, I mean, there are people here from Los Angeles that we've heard, and you wonder how they get here, right? Who is paying for that? And I think the Trump administration should be digging into that very deeply. But I think we should look. They have cops here. They're told to stand down. They're told not to help innocent civilians. But at this point, they are on the side of criminals and Antifa out here. They are the ones that don't get prosecuted. You saw Katie Davisport from the Post Millennial get hit with a pole the other day, and Portland police walked away. They were told by top brass to stand down. So they're openly siding with Antifa terrorists out here. And, you know, that's why at this point it makes the argument for sending the National Guard out here is better than any other city in the United States. This place makes Chicago look like, you know, a daycare center.
Nick, any sense of what these individuals who are menacing people just standing on the street and trying to talk or film, what do they do for a living? How do they support themselves?
Well, considering it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever it is out here in Portland, and you still have people that stand out here all day and all night, I'm going to assume that you and I pay their bills. I don't know. They won't tell us what they actually do. They might. You know, I know you have paid protesters. We've proven that in the past. Andy Ngo was exposed to a lot of that as well. And I mean, it's 24/7, Laura. For 100 days now, they've been out here. It's the same people every single time.
I just showed up. So, shame on
well,
you.
Nick, I want you to take care of yourself. I'm glad you're there covering this, but you have an exposed head, and some of these people are known to throw heavy objects. Well, so yeah,
actually,
please be
I'll
careful.
Just real quick, just so that you know, look right here. Look on the pole.
Yep. We'll make very simple.
This is what you've got. This is what, and they're open about it. They'll tell you. Talk to the
Charlie
people
Kirk.
Out here, and they will
yeah.
not.
Yeah, for those listening, there is a written, drawn on Sharpie on a flag, on a light pole next to the ICE facility, is a cartoon character of Charlie Kirk with blood spurting out of his neck. Right, that's the left. That's what they've got going on. So again, don't trust your eyes. Don't let your eyes deceive you. Nothing is happening. Everything is totally fine. There's no unrest in the streets. There's not people getting the crap beaten out of them. There's not reporters getting hit with poles. There's not individuals throwing things at ICE. Literally none of that is happening. And if you say that it's happening and you see video of it happening, it's just not real, because Portland is a city of renewal, revival, whatever stupid word that the police chief used. So it's just not happening. Ignore it. It's not a real thing. So that's what's going on in Portland, Oregon. The textbook definition of a progressive hellhole. Trump has talked about sending the National Guard in. I hope tonight's the night. That's the only way that this stuff gets under control. You've got a complete dereliction of duty by the Portland City Council, by the mayor, and by the police chief. They have a sworn obligation to protect laws that are on the books. They have a sworn obligation to protect the people of their city. And they are standing on the other side of the streets and being told to stand down by the police chief, by the mayor, and by other left-wing radical public officials in Portland, Oregon. So if you aren't capable, as a city, of protecting regular everyday citizens or visitors, then it's probably time for the federal government to step in. You hate to see it. You don't want to have to send the federal government in somewhere. But this is not sustainable. Somebody is going to get killed. Somebody is going to get severely injured, which has already happened. But somebody's going to end up getting killed. And of course, it won't be the Portland police's fault. It won't be the mayor's fault. It'll be Trump and ICE's fault for doing what? Enforcing federal immigration law. God forbid. God forbid we enforce the laws that are on the books. So as now, it is now Friday. You would imagine that the protests Friday and Saturday night will be, they're always worse on the weekends, as you know, the paid activists can afford to be there all week, but the regular left-wing activists that do something productive in society, I'm sure they'll be heading out there after work tonight and tomorrow night as well. So we'll keep an eye on Portland, Oregon over the weekend as well, and keep you up to date right here on the Nick Craig Show. The only way our show is possible is thanks to the great folks that support us at patreon.com/Nick Craig and our great advertiser, The Law Group, here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and her fantastic team over at The Law Group. For 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high quality and affordable legal services across the eastern half of our great state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as promptly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088 or their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088 or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. For any legal challenges, again, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and the great folks over at The Law Group. We appreciate them for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. All right, on to some state news this morning. Today is the deadline for Democrat Governor Josh Stein to deal with Arenas Law. This legislation was passed by the North Carolina General Assembly last week. It officially passed both the House and Senate. Senate on Monday, House on Tuesday. And with that, a 10-day clock started. This is how the process works in North Carolina. When legislation goes through both chambers and successfully passes, it is sent to the governor's desk. The moment that it is received by the governor, a 10-day clock starts ticking. And within that 10-day period, the governor has two options. He can either sign the legislation or veto the legislation. If he fails to do either of those in that 10-day period, the bill automatically becomes law, notwithstanding the governor's no action from the governor. And this is a tricky issue for him. This is a tough political issue for Josh Stein. It shouldn't be. This legislation is very common sense. It received bipartisan support in the North Carolina House. many Democrats, and I'll pull up the list so we can take a look at it. This is House Bill 307. You had a variety of Democrats that voted for this legislation when it passed the House in an 81-31 vote. Let's just count it together. These are the Democrats that voted in favor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 Democrats voted in favor of this legislation alongside all of the Republicans. As you can see, our one of our lovely representatives here in southeastern North Carolina, do-nothing Deb Butler, voted against it. No surprise there. But you've got more than a dozen Democrats that voted in favor of House Bill 307, which is Arena's law. So the reason I say that this is a tricky political issue for him is if he vetoes the legislation, it will be overridden and it will go into law. And so if he vetoes it, not only will his veto be overridden, but he is going to have to take an incredible amount of flack, as he should, for continuing to promote weak, soft-on-crime policies that exist in places like Charlotte, like Asheville, like Raleigh, and unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, sooner rather than later, probably coming to Wilmington. We have the track record. We know what happens with cities that get under Democrat control. That's why the city council elections later this year are so incredibly important here in Wilmington. So if he vetoes it, then he's going to have to take all of the things that Republicans say about Democrats being soft on crime, he's going to have to own. Now, what happens if he signs the law? Well, then, of course, he is going to piss off the progressive left, who stood on the House and Senate floor for hours on end last week, advocating and arguing that this legislation doesn't do any good, that this is just a Republican attempt to pander to the death of a 23-year-old woman, that the death penalty is inhumane. The death penalty has been on the books in North Carolina forever. This legislation does not reinstate the death penalty. It's already in the Constitution. It's already allowed in North Carolina. However, it's being bogged down in the courts. So if he signs the law, or signs this legislation, signs this bill into law, he is going to take flack from those on the progressive left. That leaves the third option, and probably the most likely. When the clock strikes 11:59 p.m. tonight, and if he is not signed or vetoed, come tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, the 4th, Arena's law will become law in North Carolina. And that is just as bad to me as vetoing the legislation. There will not be a document with his signature on it. It will become law, notwithstanding the governor's lack of action. So this is a really tough issue for him to deal with. He's got the progressive wing of the party that believes that violent criminals should be roaming the streets of cities like Charlotte and Wilmington and Asheville and Raleigh and Durham and all these other cities, that we should not hold people accountable for the things that they do. We should not hold individuals accountable for their actions. He's got that wing of the party that would not want him to sign it. And if he doesn't, and if he panders to them and vetoes this legislation, he is going to have to own the Democrats' soft-on-crime policies that allowed somebody like Arena Zaruska to be stabbed in the neck and murdered on the Charlotte light rail. So this is a tough issue for the governor. I'm just going to refresh my social media here to see if anything has come of this. I know it's early, not even 8 o'clock yet, but possibility something has happened. Doesn't appear that the governor has done anything with this as of right now. So we'll wait and see throughout the rest of the day today. It will become law tomorrow, whether the governor signs it or not. Now, again, if he vetoes it, this is a really, really bad issue for him. He there was a Council of State meeting this week. He was down in Southport after that horrific shooting last weekend. And he's been asked about this, and he continues to say, this being Governor Stein, continues to say, oh, this is a complicated piece of legislation. This is a complicated bill. We're going through all the details. It's really not that complicated of a bill. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, and I know legislation is not always the easiest thing, But if you look at this legislation, it's only 21 pages, right? When you talk about complicated legislation, this really isn't one of them. Are there some things in here that you could deem maybe a little bit complicated? Sure. But the governor has got a staff of individuals that are experts in reading through legislation and figuring things out. It's 21 pages. Go look at some other pieces of legislation. By its length and what is in there, this is not a complicated bill. It's complicated for him because it's politically very toxic. He's either going to get hammered by the right or hammered by the left. There is no winning situation here for Governor Stein. Democrats have created this mess. Democrats have created this situation where they don't want to hold criminals accountable. And we've got a great comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. Stein and Schumer are both backed into a corner of their own doing. Absolutely correct. The only reason that we are in the position we are right now with both the federal shutdown and Arena's Law in North Carolina is because of Democrats, not action, but inaction. Their inability to hold people accountable for the things that they do. Their inability to enforce laws that exist on the books and hold criminals accountable. That is in large part why Arena Zaruska was murdered back on August the 22nd. And it is, of course, the reason that this legislation called Arena's Law, House Bill 307, it has to exist in the first place. If Democrats would not allow criminals out of jail without bond, if they would deal with some of the issues in a case like DeCarlos Brown Jr., a 14-time repeat offender, if they would have dealt with him at any point over the last decade, there is a strong likelihood that Arena Zaruska is alive this morning. But because they didn't, because they wanted to be compassionate to a mentally ill criminal, she had to lose her life. The Democrats are backed into the corner on this issue, and I'm very curious what Stein is going to do. I don't think he's going to veto it. The likelihood of that to me seems incredibly low. So probably no veto. He either signs it late in the day today, probably 4:30, 4:45, very late today, so that people just kind of forget about it and it just goes on the wayside into the weekend, or he allows it to become law without his signature. So that is one of the things that we'll be tracking over the weekend, and I'll keep you up to date with all of that again on our social media channels. You can follow me over on X at Nicholas M. Craig and like the Nick Craig Show on Facebook to stay up to date with some of that breaking news. You can get those details and keep track of that stuff outside of our live time slot here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for another busy week of the program. Thanks to all of you that support the show and join us live each and every weekday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and those that go through the process of subscribing to the show on patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can also also encourage you to check out our great sponsors in the Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. That's going to do it for a Friday edition. Have a great weekend. We're back with you Monday morning live, 7 a.m. right here on the Nick Craig Show.